Hey, welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. This week we're talking about Gree, which was released back in December of 2018, developed and published by Nomada Studios and Blitworks, available on Switch, PS4, Android, PC, and classic Mac OS. I mean, that's what it said. Usually, I'm sorry, I'm having someone question me on the classic. Yeah, that's how it's, yes, okay. So listen, I'm getting questions from the people. This is what it said, classic Mac OS, and yes, it is pronounced Gree, not Gris. Anyways, a little summary of the game is Gree is hopefully a hopeful young girl lost in her own world, dealing with a painful experience in her life. Her journey through sorrow is manifested in her dress, which grants new abilities to better navigate her fading reality. We have a question for those listening. We have questions and little intros for so those of you listening can know who you're listening to. This week, our question, which usually has to do with the game that we're playing, I had a little trouble deciding what kind of intro question to have with this game. So I kind of went with as an artist, I hope that you have like an art piece or, you know, some kind of like artistic sculpture that you like. But yeah, so give me a favorite art sculpture artwork that you like from, I don't know, a museum visit. I don't know, y'all. Like, you know, get cultured. Starting at the top. I think that's okay.
I'll try. Yeah, this is Franco. I'd have to go with Vitruvian Man by Da Vinci.
The Vitruvian. Now, is that's the one with the
outstretched arms? Yeah.
Yes, I was going to say excuse my history. Okay. Don't worry. All right. Thank you very much. And next.
My turn. Oh no.
Yeah, that's you.
Oh no. Trying to, it's like, okay. Favorite art sculpture.
Or art piece, like an art piece, like an artwork, or yeah.
I'm trying to. I've seen one of Da Vinci's David prototypes at the Smithsonian. That was pretty cool. But I don't know, as far as like artwork in general, like if we're counting also like paintings, I've always loved Norman Rockwell's paintings. Specifically the Thanksgiving I think that's what it's called. Like the Thanksgiving dinner one.
Mm-hmm.
I always just love that one, and I love Norman Rockwell's just art.
Yeah.
Part of that could be that, you know, I'm from Georgia, so I see all his like cola advertisements every year. And then also I'm an Eagle Scout, and he did tons of Scouts of America art. So it's like, but in general, I love the Norman Rockwell, because they used to have that, like a copy of that framed at my elementary school that I would used to look at every day. And yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you. Next.
This is Madeline. Because I don't remember the artist or what it was called. But probably about 10 years ago now, we were at the, American Portrait Museum, I think, in DC. And there is a statue there that a man did, I think, 30s, for his wife that had died. And it's a seated figure. It's slightly bigger than life size, and it's completely shrouded.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of see the face a little bit coming through the shroud, but not quite. It's very... it's androgynous, and so it's a picture of, you could say it's death or longing or loss, but it was incredibly powerful sitting there at the end of a hallway, kind of on a throne, almost like the Lincoln Memorial, that same position, but shrouded. It's very, very powerful.
Yeah. Thank you. This is Steph. I've been like collecting information here for the last few seconds. I like art. so I'm not sure that I can sit here and be like, oh yes, this is, but you know, there are a lot of, I'm going to go with one of my favorite art sculptures is, The Little Dancer of 14 Years by Edgar Degas. Very, very, it's a very well-known sculpture of his. It's just of a 14-year-old ballerina standing or kind of stretching before she practices. And the sculpture uses actual fabric for like the tutu. Very beautiful. I think it's on display in, is it Boston? It might be Boston. I think that's where I've seen it. It was either there or New York. If I have to pick one, one of my favorite pieces, which is of many, is by Manet, and it's called A Bar at Folie or Folies. I'm sure Folie. F-O-L-I-E-S. I'm not sure of the exact way to pronunciate that word. But it's of a bar. Yeah. It's of a waitress behind a bar, and there's like this huge crowd behind her of patrons at like a restaurant or at a gala or whatever. And she just looks so like disassociated with, or like she's just off in her own headspace. So that's one of my favorite paintings. One of my favorite sculptures. It's literally like picking amongst a city of thousands. So
I excellent. Skip over me.
Oh, did I just skip over you? I am so sorry, Chris. Go ahead. I was just so excited to share my art knowledge, you know. Please go ahead.
This is Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's nothing like famous painting that comes to mind or anything. I am a fan of can't remember his name. What's his first name? The guy that did a lot of the concept artwork for Star Wars, the original Star Wars.
What was his name? I know who you're talking about.
I want to say Ralph something.
Yeah, McQuarrie.
Yeah, McQuarrie. Just really... I'm a fan of a lot of his artwork there. But when reading that question, the first thing that came to mind was I was at Retro World Expo last year in Connecticut. And there was this artist there that had a 4-picture set. And if you're a 90s kid, then you remember getting the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ice cream bars with the gumball
yes.
and the eyes.
Oh, the eyes were the worst.
It was disgusting because the gum just turned to dust like in your mouth when you started chewing it.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had a set of 4 of prints of the paintings he did of them, but they're all starting to melt. And they're just absolutely fantastic. And it just captures just so much nostalgia and just those 4 prints that I was like, I just immediately, like, I could not walk away and not buy them. So I'm still looking for frames to put them in and hang them, but in space on the wall to hang them somewhere. But
you know, nice, yeah. But,
you know, that's like the first thing that came to mind when reading that question. So
yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I'm sorry that I almost skipped over you, Chris.
Sure you were.
All right, so let's get straight into the game, shall we? Again, we're talking about Gree, which released back in December 2018. So how did y'all like the controls for this game? Did you have any issues with the controls? Were there things about the controls that you really like?
I played on the Switch.
Okay.
The only thing that I don't like is that whatever reason, like Nintendo's decision to invert the controls for B and A are just kind of like, it's kind of jarring. Because with A, I don't know, I kind of want to keep using that as like the jump button for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the voice button or the singing button, I guess. And B is the jump button.
Oh yeah.
So it's like I was playing it and it's like I kept wanting to jump and she's like gasping for breath and I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, I'm pressing the wrong button.
Oh, you're talking about like the button placement like on the Switch itself compared to other controllers.
Yeah, so so if you're looking at the Switch controller, the B button
on the bottom.
The bottom and the A button is on the right. So other than that, it was fine. There were some times where she would just not move when I was moving to the like the left or right, but I think that's a problem with my controller and not the game itself. So
yeah. I also played on Switch. And I didn't really have any problems with controls. Like everything felt nice and everything, and I liked how they implemented the like rumble. It was like very subtle, but it was they would have like I would have missed a couple points of where you could have like broken through with your ground pound, I guess, you know, when you turn into a box. But like, you know, there's this weak areas. It's like on the Switch, and I assume other consoles with vibrating controllers, like it would rumble a little bit, like that went along with the animation. It was just very nice and like really good, just haptic feedback and just. But I really liked the controls. Like they were floaty. But it was like floaty enough that like it made sense and like and it matched her art. You know, it's like she's meant to be floaty. You know.
One of the things I always do on games whenever I start up a new game is go into the menu and look at the controls layout. And if you do that with Gree, there's like nothing on there because they don't reveal them in the controls guide in the menu until you find out what things do in game. So whenever that happened, it was a little bit scary, but at the same time, I appreciated that they wanted you to discover these things in the game, organically, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought the controls were super smooth with it. Of course, I played it on PC, so I didn't have any issues there. So what platform did everyone play it on? I know Jonathan and Chris played it on Switch.
Played on PS4. I'm sorry, Madeline.
Oh, you're good. I played about half of it on PC, like, when it came out, and then I played the whole thing on Switch last week.
Okay.
I want to dock my Switch on my TV and, like, replay it, because I don't think the Switch screen does it justice.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I will. So I will say that I started playing it on the TV, but then, like, today I was doing other things away from my TV, so I started playing it handheld, and it was like, there's, you know, where the camera pulls out, it was like, oh, my eyes, where is she? Where's the dots? There's never times I missed the red flying birds who used to jump because I was playing it handheld, because I was like, but it's like, yeah.
The Switch speakers definitely do not do the soundtrack any justice either.
An interesting choice. Like, I mean the game style and the gameplay is very much like a game that would be okay on like a handheld device, but yes, it zooms out quite a bit in quite a few places. So
and I noticed, I don't know if I, at least the bits I play, I feel like there are parts where it's like the camera, like they pull the camera out because it's like a big, like emotional moment for like a big, like they want you to see this big grand thing. But then like I would mess up and fall. And like, it was clear that like the camera movement wasn't based really on where you were. It was like, if you hit like a certain, I guess, checkpoint, the camera would pull out. Cause then like it would pull out, have this big grand reveal, and you're like, ooh, but then I messed up and I'd fall and the camera would stay like pulled out, and then that's when I'd be like, okay, I can't see now.
Where did I go?
Yeah. Just look for the flowy gown. It's like that's
Yeah. So with the mechanics, you had a few forms or a few things that the game used to as you progressed. You had your block form. You also had the double jump, as well as like a floating mechanic where you kind of float when you jump. You had the singing mechanic. You swam. Am I missing any?
Is the singing one at the end?
Yes. Yeah.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah.
You're so close.
Yeah, I know.
Well, then you also had where you went, which kind of went along. You also had the mechanic of kind of going upside down and like towards the end as well. What did you say, Jonathan?
It's the, you know, swimming manta ray
thing. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what did you have a favorite mechanic here, or were there ones that you had trouble with?
I just have to say that for a platformer, the mechanics were, I think, pretty well balanced. Nothing to the point that was overly frustrating. Especially with the little red birds.
Yeah. Where,
when you had that in other games, like you had to be on, and the timing had to be perfect in order to get that to work properly.
Yeah.
Like I think everything was just really planned out well and just really worked. The one thing that kind of bugged me the most was the crystal.
With it making a copy of you.
Yeah, that was kind of like the most so far the most frustrating.
I really liked that one. Yeah.
It was interesting, but it was just frustrating.
That was one that I wish they kind of, because most mechanics they layered in elsewhere in the game besides mm-hmm. right where you learn them, and that one was the only one that's kind of, you're only gonna use this here.
I mean, yeah, I haven't finished. I think I'm over halfway, but so I think I have all the mechanics except the singing mechanic or whatever, but I don't know, something. What I call it, the ground pound, you know, the cube thing. Mm-hmm. It just, that caught me off guard because, you know, that's the first ability you learn. And it was like the one ability I did not expect for game to have. Like, I knew this game was a platformer, and I've seen, you know, trailers for it. I've seen videos for it. It's like, I've been wanting to play this for a while, and it's always like, all I see is like smooth, like, you know, colors and round edges and jumping, and like she looks like a ballerina, she's gliding and sliding, and it's like here's a ground pound, bam. She turns into a rock like a big square, and she just crashes through everything. It's just,
a woman is complicated, Jonathan. They are not just smooth corners.
Smooth corners.
Right angles. I just pictured that whole like stupid SpongeBob meme. We're not talking about this, Mr. Krabs. Or this. And he's like doing like a triangle, and he's like, we're doing this. And, all right. I'm sorry. Sorry, listeners. Anyways, I was amused by the ground pad, but also just like Chris was saying, it's like everything was like so well implemented. And, you know, with the being the cube with the like haptic feedback of the rumble, you know, mm-hmm. when you were over spots where you couldn't see because it was on a tiny screen if you're playing in handheld mode. But also it just, that was like the animation in this game is gorgeous. And I know we're going to go more into that later, but just like, I think with like, you, how her dress, her gown, like turns into the box,
mm-hmm.
and then it becomes solid, and she goes, dum! It's just like, it's such a satisfying animation.
Yeah,
pretty much everything her gown does is such a satisfying animation. But I loved how it's like the gown, and then just like perfect, like, spoosh. And yeah. Then I loved that, just that animation. More than anything, because it's like, you know, with the like the jumping where she kind of has like bird wing kind of thing, it's like that's what I expected from something like a double jump, you know, with a flowy mm-hmm. gown. Boxes.
yeah, boxes with smooth corners. I really liked, and I think, you know, and we can get into this later too, like I feel, and I felt this when playing, and also like refreshing today, I feel like the different forms, because they're prominent in different areas, like even though you can use most of them except for, as we were talking about, the crystal one throughout different areas, it seems like they're more prominent, that you have to use them more in certain areas. And it feels, to me, it feels like it goes along with what I see as kind of the narrative of the game. And I feel like each of these forms kind of works into that. But the block form, I agree, was surprising, but also very satisfying. I felt like one of those blocks called in like Mario Brothers that like pounds down to the ground? There's a name for them.
The POW blocks?
Maybe. Well, yeah, no, they're not called the POW blocks. There's something, there's a name, there's an actual name for these blocks that like pound down to the ground, and you have to. This is completely yes.
That's the ones with the faces. The
yes, swamps. Correct. Yeah, that's what it kind of reminds me of in this moment. But yeah, I mean, the jumps were really smooth. I mean, I don't really have anything to say about the mechanics that you guys haven't already said. I really loved. Well, we can talk about that with the puzzles and the level design, I guess. I really loved the like having to jump on blocks and them kind of like disappearing. And then sometimes it has to do with when you jump, the blocks change, you know, they disappear or reappear. Yes. And yeah. Then like going through like the blocks of water to get to other blocks of water.
Oh, that was so satisfying.
It gives me a very, it gave me Ori and the Blind Forest vibes. Yeah. So anything else to say about the Oh, go ahead, Madeline.
I haven't finished Ori, but I'm hoping this is a little bit more chill than Ori. If it's not, then that means
oh, no, for sure. Play no, Ori. No. Okay. No, this is definitely more chill than Ori.
Okay.
Well, let's not. I mean, it's like
you don't have little like thorn bushes and everything ready to kill you at a
right.
I think Ori leads more towards adventure game, whereas this leads more towards, you know, artful retrospective.
Yeah.
Right. Or in the Blind Forest is platformer, but like this one's definitely more artistic and definitely easier.
We call Ori the Blind Forest like a classic Metroidvania, as the kids call it.
It is.
Whereas I would not call Greece Metroidvania. Have you never heard of Metroidvania?
No, like, I have heard of Metroidvania, game. But that's not Ori in the Blind Forest. But we can have this discussion another time.
I have seen Ori in the Blind Forest. Metroidvania.
All right, moving on from Ori in the Blind Forest and Metroidvania before Stephanie goes into a discussion.
As a conniption.
All right, so going into puzzles and level design, what were some of your, to start with, like, what were some of your favorite levels or areas in this game?
I really loved the green level and the little block dude that you put him block apples.
Feed him apples.
Block apples.
Block apples, very specifically.
And then you got to meet his family afterwards, and then he gave you a star.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like that whole like forest jungle level was just, I don't know, there was just something about it that was just so well done. And then you had the little Miyazaki little creatures with the hearts on their heads type of thing that would hide into the dirt whenever you walked by and made that little noise. It was just, I don't know. It was just a really enjoyable level. The trees, on the other hand, were a little annoying, but but fun altogether.
Yeah.
Everything's just so pretty.
Yes. I think I like the forest green area as well. I loved like the cute little black guy, the black apples and everything. But I honestly, I think it was solely just the animation of the trees, like coming in and out, you know, like the invisible platforms.
Yes.
Like the way they drew them, like forming, was just like, oh my gosh, I love that. And then like later when the rain falls and it's like you see the invisible platforms by the rain, just water just flowing off of it. It's just I loved all the animations in this game are just like so satisfying. Something Chris mentioned earlier about like the design, it's like, it really was like this game, like it is forgiving where like the timing, like with the red birds and stuff, it's like it does give you, it pauses you, it freezes you in the air, hit the button, you know, or even with the disappearing trees, it's like they all of them gave you enough time to react. Aside from one or two, if you wanted to get the like the memento things, the little like bonus collectibles, like some of those were a little harder. But as far as like the main game, like they let you, like I felt like they gave you enough time compared to other platformers.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like I loved each level even more than the last one, like. The blue level is probably my favorite still, but I still really love aspects of the yellow level. How, like, you're, spoilers for those of you who aren't there yet, you're up in the air, and if you miss your platform, like Madeline does all the time, it looks like you're just going to fall out into nothing and fall for about 5 minutes before you get back down to the ground and work your way back up. But there would be like hidden, like invisible platforms down underneath you that whenever you fall will catch you. And then, like as you go by, your little star that you've collected already lights up each of the individual, lamps on it. And then you can see it as you go by. It's so like gracious for myself, who is a terrible platformer, like, don't worry, we've got you. We want you to make it there.
Yeah.
We're not going to make our puzzles or our platforms any easier, but we're going to catch you if you can't quite make it. So I just love that.
Yeah. Well, even for someone, you know, I, get out, God.
just for doing a podcast. Come on.
Yeah. Take it to DM, sir. But also like you were talking about that it's, forgiving, but also like as a person who really enjoys, you know, hard platformers, it's still challenging and still rewarding. So it works for both people. So even if you're not good at platformers, y'all, check it out.
If Madeline can do it, anyone
can. If Madeline can do it, anyone can do it. I kind of agree with Madeline. Like, I'm not sure that I have. I mean, you know, Rhea was talking about the trees, and you know that kind of goes along with the animation and the art. But like, there were several things about each level that I really enjoyed. And I mean, a lot of them were like mechanics based, but it was because the mechanics, it was because the animations for things were so smooth. And God, Jonathan, calm down, sir. because the animations were so smooth that, you know, I mean, it's like playing a freaking like animated movie that's like expertly animated. I don't know what else to say. I am running out of words, but
there were times when I was playing this that I was getting kind of flashbacks of Forgotten Anne in some some respects, just with just some of the animations and kind of like hand-drawn elements to the game. I mean, I'm sure we can all agree that this is just absolute eye candy.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I say it's like playing an animated, but it's also like almost playing inside of an art piece as well, because
every
part of the game you could just take a screenshot of, print it out, and then frame it and hang it on your wall.
Yeah.
It's just that good.
I feel like you said that about a game like 3 games ago, too.
Yeah, I know. But It was probably Tiny Echoes or something.
It's still true. It's still true. But, yeah. Oh, no, wait, it was just last week.
Yeah. But yeah.
Game chat games had a type.
still holds true.
Wallpaper. That's a genre of wallpaper.
Yeah. I love the little subtleties between the background and the platforms too, because it's like everything, like the way the architecture and the art style of everything is supposed to like kind of like blend in together, and yet you're still able to sense this depth to it, or even it's like what's that painter who like made like the trippy paintings of like infinite stair loops and everything.
Escher.
It kind of reminds me of that, in that like stuff that like at first you may think, oh, that's just part of the background or the scenery. It's like you realize, oh no, that's how I get up there. Like I think about in that first kind of section with like the windmill looking things, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to get up. You finally get up to the top of that tower, and you're like, you have to like ground pound from a high distance, and you're like, wait, how do I get up there? And then that's when you realize, oh, I can platform off this windmill. And then it's like it's just a very subtle difference between what you can tell as a platform or what's not. But then, like, once you see it, it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's all very satisfying. It wasn't like frustrating, you know, it's like what we said.
Yeah. I was getting a Monument Valley feelings
in
certain aspects of the game as well while playing it as well.
Yeah, and any time that she interacted with like the statues, like I loved, like, because towards the end, right before you get to like the eel, you interact with the statue and it starts breaking, and you can climb on the pieces as it's breaking apart. And then you kind of do the same thing towards the end too, as you're kind of going up, and I mean, it seems, you know, and kind of restoring the statue of the woman, mm-hmm. and then you ascend into the stars. Oh, it's so.
I was also getting Tones of Journey.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Especially, was it just when you introduced the color red, I believe? And you're like surfing down the
yes, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm.
yeah.
The surfing was fun too. Zambia, the vines.
There's a movie. It was an animated film that came out a while back, like in the 70s, called.
Was that the Belladonna of Sadness?
Yes,
we're talking about a different one.
The Belladonna of Sadness. And if you look at if you look at the concept art, mm-hmm. it doesn't look like that was the place they're coming from. But if you look at the finished product, and see the film, there's like a ton of tonality color wise came from there. I feel like our main character's final character design pulled from the main character of the movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I watched a trailer, and I can definitely see that in there.
Content warning, it is very rapey and explicit, consensual sex as well. But it's definitely an art piece.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it before. But it definitely looks interesting. And also reminds me, even the statues kind of remind me of the art style in that, mm-hmm. or at least from what I can see in the trailer. Let's see here. I know I pulled a lot from Madeline's notes because she's so kind to provide notes to me when she can play. So you mentioned a repeated theme of balance, Madeline. Do you want to go into that? What you mean?
Yes. So it felt like for all of the levels to get your main two star, collect your two stars and then plug them in to get a new power.
Mm-hmm.
For each of them, you'd have to split it, go from one side or the other.
Yeah.
To then collect your two stars. Even in the in undersea level where you have to collect six stars to unlock the next part, they're still like surrounding that little alcove where you are. And then for many of the puzzles as well, you're balancing scales of sorts to unlock the next piece or to get them to unlock the next star. And that feeds into my whole crazy feminist theories that I'll talk about at the end.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
But I love that they balance is a thing that we all inherently understand. And I love that they put that so many places in the game because it's a really easy puzzle mechanic, I guess, to use. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it isn't used often enough. And it's just so, I don't know, it's very pleasing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it kind of goes along with, again, as you said, we'll talk about that later, but it goes along with the theme of the game. You do use the, especially, I think it's mostly towards, maybe I'm misremembering, that's mostly like towards the first half of the game where you use like the scales and the block mechanic.
Yep.
Also that the first three levels, you know, when you're introducing the different colors, you have here the red, green, and blue that they're all had portions of enclosure, especially in the blue level. That was the undersea, like the eel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then where the yellow, the last one is mostly all outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can just keep going off on these if you like, or we can.
No, for sure. No, I want to hear your opinion.
So, at the beginning of the game, our main character is outside. She loses her voice, and then continues to go further and further underground.
Yeah,
and even into, so you could say it's like into herself as well.
Yeah.
Until at some point, she feels like she doesn't have to keep continually internalizing anymore, and then she can finally externalize in our last level. That's really neat that the way that they used the design of the game and the levels to tell that story, because there's no dialogue or anything in this game.
Yeah, no,
I said that yet. So it. It's a very beautiful arc.
Yeah.
To tell it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. So kind of going off of that and kind of like moving into story. The title of the game means gray, and you bring color back to the world throughout the game. So as you're, for those listening, like as you, and we've already kind of went over this a little bit of how when you move through the game, you're, because it's very monochromatic at the beginning. And as you continue throughout these different levels, well, stages or whatever, you introduce new colors into the world. But it's not like, in fact, like when I was watching a playthrough today to kind of refresh myself, the person was playing was mentioning how, you know, that they liked it, which, you know, kind of goes along with it, that they liked how it wasn't like each level had a color, like it was just red in this level and just blue in this level, but that it kind of brought that new color into what the colors that you'd already introduced or reintroduced, which kind of goes along with the whole watercolor and how watercolor, the colors bleed into each other. And then there are several commentaries on how like the different levels represent the different stages of loss and grief.
Mm-hmm. And if you supposedly if you 100% the game, then at the end of each of those levels, then you get an achievement that says which stage of grief that you have brought the character through.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess, did you have anything specific to say about the bird, eel, and self? How that?
I mean, all of my ideas about this game fall into the same idea. So, but
okay.
There is
so let's just roll into.
Before we do that, though,
okay.
I didn't realize this until after I had sent you these notes. Apparently, there is a hidden ending, or a hidden room right before the ending for this game. Yeah. So if you haven't found that, you can Google it. It's about 30 seconds long. But you get to learn the identity of the person in all of these statues.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You have to basically 100% the game.
Okay, that's why I didn't
to get it. So...
Okay, I'm scrubbing through it that, so. Right now.
Little sparkles.
So is it her mother?
That's the general consensus is that it's mom.
I mean, guys, we wouldn't be able to talk about it without revealing it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the spoiler.
But those of you who haven't finished it yet now have something to try for, right?
Something to try for, and also, you know, it might help. I mean, honestly, it might help give a little more context too, especially if you have a hard time reading into, non-contextual storytelling. That's interesting. That's interesting. So, do you think? I mean, I still feel the stages of grief are for. So are for the character that you're playing. Like, yeah. She's going through the stages of grief. It doesn't really say what happened. Like, if anything happened to her mother, it just shows her with her mother. Right. But I can tell. Them catching fireflies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sensitive listeners, I'm going to be talking about some body parts here, so hang out.
I'm so for this. So ready.
So, the whole time I play this game, both the first time and again on this repeat, I can't help thinking about the heroine's journey. You're probably familiar with the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell, the monomyth, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And as feminists do, we're often reactionary, and so... much work was done to look at stories about women and look at the possibility of a heroine's journey as being separate from the hero.
Mm-hmm.
And repeatedly throughout there are tons of different times when it echoes the symbolism and the beats that are in the heroine. So at the beginning... at the very beginning of the game, she is sitting there singing. She's happy. Like, it's the normal world. Everything is fine. She loses her voice. And then everything is awful. And so as a result, she gets angry. She builds herself into a box, right? She becomes the block so that she can withstand the outside world. And that echoes in... the heroine's journey, oftentimes the heroine will try and identify with the force that is acting on her to take the thing that's special about her. So that massive wind, that's the bird, that's the eel, that's the big black self at the end. The force that, that made her lose her voice, if you want to read it like that. And so she's trying to identify with it, become as powerful as it. And she uses that anger to the part in the red level when you become the block and you fall down into the black and white room, when it's just a bunch of faces and then the statues of the crying woman. Like, mm-hmm. when I first fell down that, I was like, oh my gosh, like, we're crawling back into the vagina. Like, there's a portion of the heroine's journey, and this is echoed some in the hero's journey as well, where you have to go completely back to internalize, mm-hmm. go back to where you came from, go back to the very beginning, because you've been so hurt by whatever on the outside. Mm-hmm. And I was crying. I was like, oh my gosh, it's such super powerful imagery. Mm-hmm. But even still, in the bottom of that, in the womb, basically in the bottom of that room, the only thing you can do is smash jars or smash, smash statues. Like, Gree at that time is not ready to reconcile. She still has too much anger. Mm-hmm. And so repeatedly in the game, she keeps going back underground, going back underwater, going back into enclosed spaces, which is all echoing of going back into the womb. To try and reconcile with the thing that she has lost, and is finally able to accept that there's part of her that's angry and sad and all of these feelings that are associated with grief. Mm-hmm. But then, like, the turtle is there to kind of help protect her, and she has all of her little friends in the forest, and the little red birds that help her fly to get away from the big black bird. And so it's only by externalizing, it's only by reaching out that she is able to totally get back to functional again, to get back to health and to make sense of what's happened to her and continue on with her life. So if you're interested in learning more about the heroine's journey, I recommend reading a book by Valerie Estelle Frankel called From Girl to Goddess. That one's much better than the earlier version of the heroine's journey, which is much more like a second wave feminist. It's not super sensitive to anybody who isn't a white woman of means. So and I love in the heroine's journey, usually they get a sword or some symbol like that to go as their weapon of choice or their tool of power. And in Gris, she has a dress. It's her dress that gives her all these different powers. And that's pretty common as well, that women in heroine's journey either have ranged weapons or weapons that are like bags that are, or jars or cups, symbols of, you know, if you want to go back to ancient symbolism, stuff that is symbols of female.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I absolutely love this game. If I had time, I would pick out every single thing and do a whole little dissertation on everything that's in here.
For sure. No, I remember when it was first released. And did you write an article for LTN about it, Madeline?
I didn't, but I really wanted to.
Okay.
This was right before I started having breakdowns.
Okay. I remember, and I wish I could find, because I know that I sent you some notes of just like my thoughts after I played it. Even without, I mean, I think that you had maybe said a sentence or two of what you thought of because you'd played it before I did. But even just having, with only that brief sentence, like, I picked up on that it seemed very focused on grief and it seemed very focused on this kind of journey from, I didn't really catch the, I didn't really, I guess, like, yeah, I mean, I saw mostly like the enclosed spaces as her kind of more inward of going inside of herself and kind of blocking out everything, and the block form as like a form of heaviness from her grief. And then as you go throughout the game, you know, and you start adding more colors to this monochromatic color palette that's towards the beginning after the, you know, she loses her voice and the statue breaks, which is, you know, of her mother. But I didn't know at the time. You know, and you start slowly adding in these colors and everything starts becoming more and more beautiful. And even like the first level with the wind blowing against her and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of blowing her back, and she tries to take so many steps forward, but then the wind blows her back some more steps. And it's a very hard thing to get through. You know, and it's frustrating as a player, but you can feel that kind of force against her. And also, you know, as you move throughout the levels, not only do things get more colorful, but she starts becoming more free in her movements, like with the swimming, you know, and even though yeah. you have like the eel after you and you still kind of go more inward, you know, more underground or inside things, the movement is more freer. You start kind of running into these, you know, but you, even if you're even underground, you run into like these areas that give you light, or these things that give you light to light up your path. Or like in the dark areas, you start running into trees that light up. And yeah, and going towards the end where, you know, you have, I think it's like the statue, and it turns like, this black and kind of melts and, you know, yells at her, and she just kind of, you know, just stands there against that kind of, you know, that force from it, and it doesn't blow her away. She just stands there. I mean, the statue crumbles, and that's when you kind of climb up one and go over it. Mm-hmm. But then eventually get to the statue where you restore it. And I just remember that I was okay through most of the game, but then like that, like at the very end when she restored the statue, I just cried.
Yeah.
Like it just hit me, and just such a simple game, and such like an. You kind of have to be in tune with the message to kind of really pick it up. Like I'm not sure that everyone could, but
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, God, I mean, I'm tearing up now talking about it, but yeah, it was an experience when I first played it, and just even watching the videos back and talking about it, like, yeah, it was something. It's definitely something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else have anything to say about the story? What did you guys think about, like, so we've talked about the artwork and the animation. That's cool, right?
I mean, right. That's cool. That's cool. Sorry, Madeline scared you away by saying vagina.
If you didn't, I mean, you know, it's fine.
I was the whole gray and you bring color back to the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where it's like I forgot, like you're like your eyes get like used to this game in such a way. It's like the color balancing of, you know, I'm using my video editor like in my imagery in my head, is like the color balancing of this game is amazing, because it's like even when it's gray, it's like you still kind of, you know, see the color oh, yeah. between everything. You still see the yeah. range of color. And then so like when you do unlock a color and it starts like filling in,
mm-hmm.
it's like, I mean, we're just like the first one with when the red starts showing up, it just it was like, whoa. Like you forget how much color adds to it, you know, and it adds this whole depth to everything. And you know, the even the animation of the wind, it almost like red dye, like flowing through it. Like, I loved it. And then, and then, like, as you get each subsequent color, it just like makes it more dynamic. It makes the whole art pop more, where it's like, you're like, ah, how can it get more beautiful? And then it gets more beautiful. And it's like, it just, I loved that. It just how like it just slowly just adds more and more depth to the art style, to the gameplay, even, you know, since all the color unlocks aspects of the world and everything.
We've already talked about the animation quite a bit. The music, how did you like the music in the game by the Berlinist?
I loved it.
Yeah, it was really good. I think fitting with the art style and everything really drew you into the whole, I don't know if I want to say atmosphere or just like the game in general.
Everything just from the story to colors to the music in general, it's like they all like synchronize so well together. Like I think of you know, back in that first, just in that first section with the wind and the red wind, it's just like the music like got all almost like Terracotta Fugue, D minor, like
spooky, the organy.
It was like, it makes that, it's like for a game that doesn't really have enemies, you know, yes, you have like the big bosses, but you know, it's like for a game where you don't like die, there's not, you know, direct danger like a Mario or something, you know, it's it gives you that sense of like, you know, yes, this wind's pushing you back, but it's like red and there's this spooky music that just like interrupts the beautiful music that you've been listening to. It's just, it just adds so much depth to everything. Like, it just, they all stack. I keep saying, I've said depth a lot tonight, which, like, I don't know. It's just like, you look at the art style and it's like, if you show it to anyone, it's like, depth would not be the first thing most people would think of if they see a screenshot of this game. But it's just so, and I wouldn't even call it like minimalist art, because everything is just so like detailed. It's like, the more you look at it, the more you notice. It's beautiful.
I feel like I didn't notice this playing it on Switch, but I know playing it on PC, I feel like at some portions, the music was a little bit more tied to what you were doing in the game than it was on Switch. Like at some point in the red level when you're like starting to climb up that big half circle thing, on PC, the music would recognize what level you were on and like keep building and like keep going up to the next key to like help raise. And the only reason I noticed that much is because I kept falling off on PC and it would go back down and build back up once I finally figured it out. But at that same portion on the Switch, it didn't do that. I don't know if that was purposeful or if it was just there wasn't room for it on the Switch build. I don't know.
And then there was also the part two where the red level where you're walking through and the music would get intense and the wind would pick up and like there'd be a dust storm. And then it would get calm and like it's gone. So it was kind of an interesting way of timing your movements to the music and everything. So
Okay, so anything else that y'all want to cover before we go into final thoughts and scoring? Okay, all right. So
I will start at the top. If you, I know that a couple of you didn't finish. I mean, whatever that you feel comfortable in doing, but if you, you know, still want to give some final thoughts, please do. Or you can do final thoughts and scoring. Again, whatever you feel comfortable with. So starting with Jonathan.
I mean, depth. I don't know. It's like I'm picturing. It's like I visualize this game like through my profession as a video editor, and just how like I edit something like really good with the graphics and the color correction and the actual baseline, you know, video, like great, like a good story content, and then like with like a music, like everything is just layered and put together so perfectly to me, like even like all the way to even just like hardware wise. I keep talking about the rumble in the Switch version, you know, it just it's this game, like by like each piece by itself is amazing, and then just put together is it makes something truly unique and incredible. And it's like I think that's like what makes like these kind of independent games so great. It's like we get play so many games where it's like one of these aspects is amazing. Like it has a really great story, but the graphics or visual are like, oh, it's okay. You know, or there's frame rate issues, or there's, you know, it's like, but then every now and then it's like an independent game gets made where it's just like everything fits so perfectly. And it's like, you know, you look at it and you're just like, that's, you can't deny that that is not art. That is art. You know, it's like, I mean, look at that depth. It's art. this is a great game, and I'm gonna finish it. I feel bad that I haven't finished it. I thought I was close to finishing it, and then I beat the big bird and realized, oh, big bird, not final boss. So I won't, you know what, I feel confident enough that I'll give this I'll give it a 10. Yeah.
Well, high praise. Bold. Alright, thank you, Jonathan. Madeline?
I have to give this game a 10. I first started playing this game when I was at a pretty lost point in my recent life as far as like what I was doing with my extracurricular, quote unquote, with my volunteer activities and where I was investing most of my passion. And this game, I feel like, absolutely hit me in the sore spot and did an excellent job of resonating with me because of that. It tells a story with zero words that you can get multiple different impressions of if you want to take the grief and loss that most people can identify with that. But it can also just talk about overcoming a personal struggle. It's an easy enough platformer that I can make it all the way through to the end. It's effing beautiful. All the music is gorgeous and melded so perfectly with what's going on screen at the time. I have no bad things to say about this game. 10.
Excellent. Thank you. And Chris?
Oh, you remembered me.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so yeah, I'll say that this game just did not need dogs for it to be enjoyable.
Whoa.
Yes.
That is the biggest praise.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's playing the game, you're just kind of in awe of just the overall beauty of what's in front of you. And the Switch just does not do this game's any justice. And I think I gotta end up putting it on a bigger screen, because it's just, yeah. It's one of those games that really kind of deserves a larger screen than a, what, 10-inch or whatever the size of the Switch screen is. I did have an issue with it, and I can't remember what it was. But there just like was this one niggling thing that was kind of bothering me with the game. But yeah, it was. I mean, just the animations with the bird and the eel was kind of reminding me of the sludge monster from Fern Gully in a way. It was just,
yes.
You just broke stuff.
Like, it was just, it was so fluid, and
yes,
like it was just amazing. It, like, I just kind of wanted to sit there and watch it and not like even bother playing the game for a bit as well. And yeah, it. Oh, I think now I think I remember what the issue was, is that it wasn't as clear where you needed to go in certain parts when you were back at the temple after you dropped off your stars and everything. I think if it made it just a little bit more obvious as to what your next steps were, probably would have been a little better. Yeah, I mean, it's like I could go on and talk more about the game, but I think everyone else has kind of summed it all up. I want to give it a 10, but there's just something, I don't know, there's just something there that's like preventing me for some reason. I'll give it a 9.95. So
nice.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. This is Steph. Yeah, well, I'm definitely giving this a 10. There is nothing that I didn't like about this game. I never was frustrated with it when I played it. Like the platforming, as Madeline mentioned, I mean, it's easy, but it's also, you know, I also did feel challenged. I mean, there were parts that I had, you know, that I had to work on, but I never was like, I want to throw my keyboard against, you know, out my bedroom window. Frustrating. Other than that, I mean, y'all have explained a lot of what I'm thinking, you know, the animation, the art style. As I mentioned before, it really spoke to me, and yes, the depth. There's so much depth, as Jonathan said. Yeah, like I, Yeah, I remembered. Well, I'm kind of glad I didn't play it today because, like, I'm obviously having like a breakdown. Again, like, it really resonated with me, and I really, I guess, appreciate the story in this game. Like, what is there, I appreciate it because I feel like it's not something that you see a lot in games. You don't see a lot of, I mean, you see female-focused narratives, especially lately, but you don't see a lot, you don't see that, I mean, I'm sure that I can think of some if I actually sit here and think about it, but like, this one stands out to me, and it stood out to me since I played it, of just that kind of female inward journey of, you know, and even though, and I think it can be deciphered, you know, the couple different ways that we spoke, you know, that we talked about, as well as other ways. But you definitely pick up on that. You can definitely see that kind of inward struggle and that kind of breakthrough towards the end, into light, into a lighter form of being, or through the pain, and the sorrow and the depression that the character is going through, however you want to read that, or whether it's just breaking free to, you know, breaking through to freedom, from oppression. It's beautiful. The game designers did an amazing job. I don't know. I haven't looked to see if they're working on anything now, but I'm sure whatever it is, hopefully they're currently working on something, because I definitely would want to see more games from them and more games from the people who, you know, from the team that wrote for this one, and also did the art. And yeah, just have the team just make all kinds of other games. Thanks. But yeah, so a 10 is what I'm going with. And again, like, I don't think that I personally commented on the music, but the music is just gorgeous. Yeah, it all just kind of fits together beautifully. All right. Well, thank you all for chatting about this game. I appreciate it. I will put these scores together and these comments together probably tonight and get those posted tonight or sometime tomorrow. And as well as the, you know, this will be posted at night, you know. Yeah. Wow. I've lost all of my words. Okay. So next week we are talking about Kathy Rain. This will be a two-weeker. This is a point-and-click adventure game released back in May of 2016. Developed by Clifftop Games, published by Raw Fury. It's available on Android, PC, and Mac OS. It'll be interesting to play it on mobile. A little summary of the game is set in the 90s. Kathy Rain tells the story of a strong-willed journalism major who has to come to terms with her own troubled past as she investigates the mysterious death of her recently deceased grandfather. Our first stopping point is... Our first stopping point is going to be the beginning of day 4. There are, I think, 6 days in this game. Play days 1, 2, and 3. And then when you stay the night at your grandmother's house. And when you wake up in the morning, it has a little thing at the bottom that says day 4. So just save there and exit. And we'll talk about days 1 through 3 next week. So far that I've played, it's a really fun game. You know, I had to look at a walkthrough a couple of times, but it's not very. It gives me very. I mean, not in storytelling wise, really, but like as far as like difficulty, it gives me very. Unavowed vibes. Was it made by the same people? No. Right, Clifftop. Clifftop Games has done. What was the newest one they came out with?
They did one called
Whispers of the Machine.
Yes.
That. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited to chat about with this with y'all next week. Our next month chat is Return of the Obra Dinn, which is on October the 6th, and at some point we'll be talking about Dragon Age Inquisition. If you want more Game Chat, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcast under The Game Chat for all past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat, or find us on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for a current game, and we might just read it on the show. You can email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net or email us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. So come back next week where we're chatting about Cathy Rain, or at least the first week of our chat about Cathy Rain. So until next Tuesday, thanks for listening, and I'll chat to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.